Brainseeker Consulting sucht ein CFO, Director Finance, MVD in der Nähe vom Bodensee. Interessenten bitte direkt bei Tom Heinkel über LinkedIn melden. Vielen Dank. Welcome to the Aerospace Manager podcast. My guest today is Alexander Beer. Welcome, Alexander. Welcome, Alex.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for having me.
Before we start and talk about Aero Excellence, I would like to introduce you very briefly. You've been an executive assistant of Guillaume Fury at Airbus, and after that you had several management positions before you moved to the very famous German cabin supplier Diehl. And what is your role there at Diehl nowadays? This is your main job, right?
Correct, yeah. This is the company who pays my salary. Within Diehl, I'm the vice president of operations, strategy and standards. What I do basically is in three different areas. One is global footprint, so developing the international footprint of Diehl. We are currently expanding into Mexico and Romania out of Germany. The other is standards, lean, and this is where the link to Air Excellence comes from. And the third pillar is everything related to sustainability.
Mm-hmm. So what core problem does Aero Excellence solve for the aerospace supply chain? We know many quality management projects within the aerospace and defense companies. So what's new with Aero Excellence? Mm-hmm.
So the main idea is not to add another assessment or audit. This is an assessment. First of all, this was created to support the ramp up of the whole industry. As you know, compared to other industries, for aviation, it's still upward. A couple of, more aircraft every year, which then translate into a heavy workload for the complete supply chain. And this is what Aero Excellence wants to support with. And you mentioned several audits and assessments. So this is a mutualized assessment across the supply chain. It can be used for the supply chain. It is used by the OEMs, but it is one standardized, and it should help to reduce the number of multiple assessment that we all basically suffer from every year with one standardized that is generally accepted and understood.
And how do you help companies to avoid duplicate or even triple audits? Because sometimes, that suppliers complain maybe about the third and fourth audit and always answering the same questions. How do you help to avoid these argument?
Yeah, actually, you're addressing a very important topic that usually when we talk about Aero Excellence, we get as the first question, right? So Aero Excellence is organized as an independent third-party assessment. And the grid we use, so the questionnaire, is an open source grid that is available and accessible to everyone. The grid is mutualized between different customers who helped build the grid, as well as is the assessor pool. So the assessors come from numerous industrials. Of course, you have Airbus, for example, in it, but also Safran, you have Thales, you have Liebherr, you have Diehl. And this mixed team then is basically arriving. So with this mutualized approach, the result in the end is that you have not a redundancy in several assessments from several companies, but one with a standardized grid. And on a governance level on top, so the Aero Excellence governance interacts with different bodies, for example, IAQG and others, to ensure a consistent deployment and a universal approach. Mm-hmm. For example, we give very precise recommendations to the assessors how to best value and incorporate other standards like an ISO norm or an EN or something like this.
Mm-hmm. And in which countries are you present right now? You've mentioned several companies, OEM or big companies who runs or invented, let's say, Aero Excellence. In which countries are you present right now?
Mm-hmm. So basically, it is a worldwide approach. There are four countries driving the whole initiative, and the fourth country joined this year, which is Spain. It started with UK, France, and Germany. Those are the so-called operating countries. They drive the whole initiative. They created the grid. They manage the different bodies. We are now welcoming Spain. And the next move is across the ocean towards North America. This year, we will open bodies to incorporate the supplier landscape in the United States, for example. And of course, a big target is also to onboard the OEMs in North America, which is not only Boeing, it's the biggest one, but could be also Bombardier, or if you think about South America, Embraer.
Mm-hmm. And your role is, let's say, a non-paid job, or what is it like? Do you do it in your free time on the weekend next to your main job?
Also, yeah. So my main job is with Diehl. Mm-hmm. And Diehl sent me into a body that is, the governance of Aero Excellence, which is the operating committee, the International Operating Committee. Within that committee, I'm the chairman. The operating committee basically deploys the whole setup, makes sure that the grid is up to date. We currently receive feedback to the grids, as well as the outer world evolves. So whenever we see, for example, a typo in a question, a misleading explanation, or something that we can incorporate, we upgrade the grid. This is what we do. We also look at the results. We overlook the nomination and the formation of the assessors, and so on. Mm-hmm. And this is what I do on behalf of Diehl, on behalf of the Aero Excellence community. Mm-hmm. And like me, we have many other industrialists from other companies from the three countries, and soon then also Spain. And with this kind of very diverse and versatile setup, we want to ensure that it's not only one opinion basically on the table and one understanding of the issue of maturity and ramping up, but that we have an understanding and a wording of the complete aerospace sector.
Mm-hmm. Can you share concrete numbers? How many companies participate and in which countries? Well, we already talked about the countries, but in the future, what is your proposal? How long does it take to be global?
Yeah, so I wanted to come back to the countries because I mentioned these so-called operating countries. Of course, we are present in different countries, but this is not a specificity. They're not operating countries. They are managed by the operating countries, all they are outside of those four. We have also sites in Morocco, in Mexico, in Spain, in Poland, across the world. But not everyone basically is incorporated in those operating bodies I mentioned, right? So, and I take numbers from end of December. End of December, via our sites, we have 464 different production sites from 361 companies.
Wow.
Already registered. By end of December, we had done 182 assessments and 77 already ongoing. Either they are started, planned. From those 182 assessments, we had 64 assessments with a result, and maybe we should mention this as well, in the bronze, silver, or gold level. Mm-hmm. And most of the assessments result in bronze for the time being, but we can also be very proud of announcing already, two silver sites, one in the UK and one in France. Mm-hmm. And on the assessor side, 140 assessors are already qualified, and in total 752 are onboarded and should proceed to become assessors. So this basically shows that, it is a huge movement. It's not only one or two companies. It is very global, and it is growing month by month.
Wow. And what measurable impact do you see now in the first year or the first time after these impressive numbers?
Yeah. So basically, if you are a company in the aerospace sector, I think I always try to explain by, upstream, downstream, and within your company. So upstream, you can use it in your own supply chain. So there's a grid that you can use, you can deploy. It will be the same for everyone. And you can then also compare results. So downstream, of course, if you take the example of Diehl, our customers are Airbus and Thales. So in the old days, Airbus would have visited Diehl, and maybe the different Airbus divisions would have visited Diehl. So the helicopter guys, the defense and space, and the commercial guys. Today, Airbus is not even coming. It's Aero Excellence. We have a standardized assessment. We can show the result to Airbus. We can show the result to Thales instead of several assessments. So this is the downstream aspect. And within our company, since the assessment is targeting industrial sites, we can also compare our different sites on how they perform. So we can learn about perspectives within our company. We can improve. We can learn from each other. And on top, like many other companies, we want to align our internal processes also with the Aero Excellence Grid. So even internally, we can reduce effort in the sense of not doing an internal assessment and 1 month later the external assessment with Aero Excellence. Mm-hmm. So there are many ways of trying to, you know, identifying the overlaps, limiting them, and using one grid and one standard in order to improve the overall effectiveness of the company in the supply chain.
Mm. And if a company wants to join Aero Excellence, who should they contact and what are the first concrete steps?
Yeah. So the easiest way would be to go on the homepage of Aero Excellence, www.aeroexcellencetogether.com. Mm-hmm. And there you have all the important info, a rough introduction, some material. You can register your company. And then behind the scenes, you will be rerouted to the operating country that is responsible for you. Right? So there's some work to be done in the back, and this is done by Aero Excellence. You can also contact us via our LinkedIn page. Or if you are in Germany, UK, France, and soon Spain, you can directly contact the operating bodies.
Mm-hmm.
Or the trade association in that country. But I recommend go to Aero Excellence. Mm-hmm. You find everything that is necessary there. Mm-hmm. You can register and then someone will take contact with you.
I will put these information, of course, into the show notes. Excellent. Of the episode.
Really good.
Then it's very easy to do the next step. But maybe we should name two or three main entry requirements or typical timelines from registration to the first assessment, because this is usually a frequently asked question, I can imagine.
So requirements, there are none that you have to do as a company. You are in the aerospace sector, you want to do this, you have understood how this is important and can benefit you, then please do it. There's nothing else that you need to prove, for example.
Got it.
Right? So in terms of timeline, I think it will take a couple of days between registration and then hearing back and rerouting you to the correct operating body / trade organization. And from that, the first step will be a self-assessment. The self-assessment helps you to understand, so what is the grid? It's very transparent. You can see what is asked. You can see whether there's a KPI or some evidence that could be a process description or something else that you need to show during the assessment. No information will be taken, no information will be recorded from your sometimes confidential company information. And with this, you can also get an idea of how much time you might need to prepare between self-assessment and the then on-site assessment, right? At the same time, the Aero Excellence organization will then look for open time slots for the assessors to come and assess your company. And I take a guess, what we've seen in the past is usually a couple of days between registration and feedback, then 2 to 4 weeks for a company to read the grid, understand the grid, do the self-assessment, and maybe 2 months between self-assessment, 2 to 4 months between self-assessment and assessment, because, you know, sometimes we need to travel far. Mm-hmm. Not everything is in Europe, where most of the assessors are based today. So there needs to be some kind of preparation. But rest assured, it's not something that will come from the outside and you can only say yes or yes. There are several steps, of course, of communication in terms of dates. Maybe there's something important going on in their company for the proposed date. The same, you will get a very transparent overview on who would be the assessor team, name, the company they're employed with. And you could also object or comment on the assessor team. For example, one of them is a possible competitor and you don't want that person to be on site. This is possible. So we know that on Aero Excellence, we want to collaborate, whereas on product, sometimes we compete. And all of this is built into a very thorough contractual situation that respects all of these aspects. Mm-hmm. So you can be sure that the date is not coming from heaven and you have to accept. Mm-hmm. But the rough timeline, to come back to your question, would be 4 to 8 weeks for the complete preparation until the self-assessment and another 2 to 4 months until the assessment. It is not a thing you do within a week.
Sure.
And usually it's the start of a longer improvement way because you get recommendations from the assessment. You've also, if you remember the numbers, 182 assessments to only 64 resulting in bronze or silver. You see that there's room for improvement. And usually the assessment is the kickoff or a support of an improvement project anyway running in that company, becoming more mature and more effective and efficient for the upcoming ramp up.
Can you tell me anything about the costs? I mean, if I'm the CEO of an aerospace company now, I ask myself, and I'm interested in Aero Excellence, can you tell me anything about a cost, what an audit cost per day or per week, or do I have to pay an annual fee to be a member of any association, or how does that work? I mean, it's not for free, right?
It is not for free. The easiest way would be you only do the assessment. Mm-hmm. You pay an assessment fee that is aligned between the different countries. Of course, we have different VATs in the UK.
Sure.
And different currencies, for example. So there might not be in the end the same number. And this is a couple of thousand euros for the complete assessment program. And it's not depending on the size of the company. Mm-hmm. It's not depending on the length of the assessment, which is also standardized.
Yeah. But you have auditors and they have travel costs for sure, and someone has to bear these costs, right?
Yeah, this is the obvious cost. The cost behind is we also need to have an IT infrastructure for the hosting the grid, managing the data, and so on. And setting all of this up, for example, is not paid with the fees. Mm-hmm. What we're trying to do are, the running cost of the program. The trade association of the three founding countries, Germany, UK, and France, plus some of the bigger OEMs and customers, they invested a lot of money at the beginning in order to keep, to support this and start this. Of course, the best way of doing this is also becoming part of it. So becoming a member and supporting our excellence, not only doing the assessment, also supporting via the training of assessors, helping to improve the grid, is also a way of being, being part of the assessment, mm-hmm. being part of Aero Excellence.
Mm-hmm. Alex, final question. If you had to summarize the strategic value of Aero Excellence in one sentence, what would it be? That's a tough one, right?
It's a tough one, especially...
You can usually name, two sentences as well, whatever you like.
Okay. So the important thing is that you have a unified and a standardized assessment with a very transparent open source grid that covers all aspects of a company today and in the future. And you can use it upstream, downstream, and within your company. And the really important thing is it is recognized by several companies. So where you had numerous assessments and audits in the past, you will have won today.
Very good, very good. I like that. Did I forget to ask you any question, Alex, before we quit, before we end our talk here? Do you have to? Would you like to mention something else to the aerospace and defense world? Now is the chance.
You mentioned defense, so defense is part of it as well. For example, in France, the MOD, the Ministry of Defense, is even cooperating with Aero Excellence in order to lower their assessment needs they have. So it's not only commercial aircraft. If I take the example of Airbus, they are part of our different bodies. Pierre Perdue is the driving force behind all of this.
Yeah, maybe you can drop some more names if you like.
And what I wanted to say about them, they have been very clear that they want to replace, but they started replacing the IPCAS, which are their, you know, Airbus-specific assessments in the past, with Aero Excellence. Mm-hmm. So they have done already that move. And this proves for me that this is not only a plan in the future. You know, in the future, assessments will be reduced and will be recognized. For one big player in the European market already started. And the same is true for Thales and for Safran. In the US, I mentioned already that we have GE with us. They announced this end of last year. We have RTX. Who already, you know, communicated to their supply chain, we will be part of this, we will do it, we recommend you do it. And if you see the sheer size of GE and RTX, you see that this is, you know, a big movement in the complete supply chain. We have been in talks with Boeing for months now, the same with Embraer and Bombardier. So the idea of being global is no longer an idea. It's become a reality, and also growing bigger in Europe. Spain is now on board. Italy is interested. Canada is interested. So there's more to come.
Wow. Impressive. And why two Germans speaking English to each other? We're going to answer that question in the next episode. This is my to make the people curious for the next episode. We just learned in your last answer, it's a global branch. It's aerospace and defense. Everyone speaks English, also in Hamburg on site, right?
Correct.
And
with a nice German accent, but English.
Yeah,
correct.
I apologize for my German accent. Your English is perfect, Alex. So, that's the answer. If people think, why do they do this to us?
Correct.
All right. Thank you for your time. I wish you success for this great initiative.
Thanks, Tom, for having me. And it's really a pleasure, and it is fun, I can tell you, to do this. We all know that our industry is very global. And this is a global answer to a very common problem. And I'm happy to be a part of it.
Thank you, Alex. Bye-bye. Yeah. BrainSeeker Consulting is looking for a head of finance in southern Germany. If you're interested in recording an episode in English or in German, and if you're an exhibitor for the ILA in Berlin 2026, please contact me and we can send you an offer. Thank you for your interest.